Today's daf is Baba Kama daf Lamed Tes. We left off yesterday on daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis at the bottom of the page. We were discussing the status of Kutiv according to Rabbi Meir. So where we left off, we have just said that Rabbi Meir holds Kutim are in fact Gerei Emesim. They in fact are kosher Jews. They were legitimate Gerim, but regarding Dini Mamonis, Rabbi Meir made a knas on their mamon in order that we shouldn't get mixed in with them. So therefore, when it came to a Sharshal Yisrael, that Gor is a Sharshal Kuti, so Rabbi Meir held, the halacha is that the Yisrael be pater from paying the Kuti, even though normally, obviously, if you gore a Ger's Shar, you're going to be Chayiv. Whereas a Kuti Shar that gores a Yisrael Shar, Bein Tam Bein Mu'ad is going to pay Nezek Shalim. Even if it's a Shar Tam, it's going to pay Nezek Shalim. And again, the logic is simply that it's a special Knas, a Knas made against the Kutim, in order that we shouldn't mix in with the Kutim. There's a discussion in the Beis Yosef in Yardea, Simon Kufnun Tes, that it might be mutter to be Malve Beribis to the Kutim, to even lend money with ribis to Kutim, because they would have a status of a Yisrael Mumar, of a Yisrael who's a Mumar Lahachis. Beis Yosef has a discussion if the Dafka has to be a Mumar Lahachis who you're allowed to be Malva Beribis to, but a Mumar L'Teyafon you certainly would not be allowed to be Malva Beribis to. The Rishonim in Maseches Kiddushin also point out that the Kutim, even if you say they're Geri Arayos, that would only be the first generation of Kutim. The subsequent generation of Kutim, if they went through a Geris, is Geri Emesheim. But anyway, that's what we had left off with. There, a mayor holds that it's a special knas that we make against the Kutims, against the mammon of the Kutim, in order that we shouldn't mix in with them. So Masiv Rabbi Zeira asks Rabbi Zeira on this idea, Ve'elu Naar Sheishlem Knas. We know that the Mishnah in Maseches Ksubos lists off the Na'aros for whom a person would have to pay a knas if he were to rape them, haba al hamamzeres, vala nesina, vala kutis, and the lists included in the people that you would have to pay a knas for being ma'anis them, a mamzeres, a nesina, and a kutis. But if we always make a knas against the money of Kutim, why didn't we make a knas over here so that we shouldn't get mixed in with the Kutim? We should make a special knas that even though Ein Chinami, you should be chayiv the mamon for being ma'anis them, but you should be pater because of a special knas against their money that we want to cost them extra money so that we won't come to get mixed in with them. Why is there no such knas? This knas was avoided in order to make sure that the sinner doesn't end up winning out. Meaning a person is ma'anes a girl, so he's certainly a terrible chote. If we're going to get him off the hook from paying for the knas, so that's a terrible precedent to set. We're going to allow a person who sins like that to get off the hook. That would be something absolutely terrible. So frek the gemara vayter. Okay, good. So don't let him off the hook. Make him pay, but make the knas on the kutis that she shouldn't get the money. Where should it go instead? V'nei selaniyim. Let it go to poor people. Why should the kuti get it? So Amar Rav Mari, Mishum Davi Mamon Shein Lo Tovim. It's not going to help to suggest that it should go to Aniim because it's Mamon Shein Lo Tovim. Which Ani is going to take it? Any Ani that claims that it belongs to him, you can say, no, I intended to give it to a different Ani. And there's no one that can rightfully be Toveya this money, so it's an absolute dead end. There's no way you can be Mechayiv the money and not have it go to the clear victim of the crime. Now, if you look at the Maratz Chayis on this line, V'neis Ve'la Aniim, why don't we just give it to the Aniyim, quotes from the Rashba in the Tshuva that's quoted in the Machna Ephraim in Hilchas Tzedakah, Simon Beis, that even though Tzedakah is Mamon Shein Lo Tovim, you're still, and you can say that you want to give your Tzedakah money to anybody you want, to any other Tzedakah, nevertheless, the Rashba writes, if there's a Gabbai Tzedakah in the city, we can force the guy to give Tzedakah. You could be Kofin ala Tzedakah as long as there's a Gabbai Tzedakah. Because you can't say, no, it goes to someone else, I'm going to give it to this honey, that honey. The Gabbai Tzedakah is in charge of all of the funds of the Tzedakah. He gets to choose where it goes to. So says Maratz Chayis, Im Kain, Ein Makom L'Teretz HaShas, Davim Mamon Shein Lo Tovim. How could the Gemara say over here that if it's going to go to an Ani, by definition, it's Mamon Shein Lo Tovim, Dimikol Makom Yiknesu Asoshiyitin Aknas L'Gabbai Tzedakah? What do you mean? The Gabbai Tzedakah is the one that's entitled to it. Give it to the Gabbai Tzedakah and he'll determine who it goes to. But it's certainly Yesh Lo Tovim that the Gabbai Tzedakah has the ability to claim it. That's the Kasha of the Maratz Chayis. How can you call it Mamon Shein Lo Tovim if the Gabbai Tzedakah certainly is entitled to it? And that's the definite address where the money's supposed to go. So answers Maratz Chayis, the Efshar, Kivan de Bemakum de Leka Gabai, Shuv Havimam Shain Lotovim, Velo Plug Rabbanon de Bemakum Shain Gabai Lois Chayev Knas, Bemakum de Yesh Gabai Yesh Kan Knas. That since there are places that don't have a Gabai Tzedakah, and in places that don't have a Gabai Tzedakah, so certainly the halacha would be that it's mamon shein lo tovim. So it was a low plug. They didn't want to distinguish between two different places. That where you have a gabbai tzedakah, you're going to have to pay the knas. But when there's no gabbai tzedakah, you don't have to pay the knas. So depending on where the guy rapes a girl, it's going to make a difference whether he's going to have to pay or not. So that's ridiculous. They didn't want to make the din so flexible to change based on the location where the ones occurred or where the beis din is mechayiv him for the ones. So that's why it's across the board, we consider it to be mamon she'in lo tovim. The Shita Mukbetzis also raises a similar issue. He says, that, wait a second, we said earlier in the Masechta that anan yad aniyim, that we are considered like the hand of the aniyim. So why over here do we not say that we are the hand of the aniyim? So says Shita Mukbetzis, yeah, we could be the hand of the aniyim, but the point is that if there's no one, no specific person who has something at stake over here, there's no specific person who knows for sure that it's their money that's being lost, who's going to want to go and bring Edim that this man was Ma'anis the girl, or that he was Mefata her? No one's going to invest in doing the research in order to bring him to justice. And since no one's going to make that investment, it's a waste of time. The chances, the likelihood of being able to find a conviction on an ones is very slim. And therefore, it's the fact that no one has a vested interest in that money, that makes it that there's no sense in being mechayev him. So that's why he's that's why the fact that it's bavu shein l'tovim doesn't make it would lend itself to injustice prevailing, because if there's no one to be toveh him, there's not going to be no one to find rayas against him. So it's much better to make him just pay the girl, because at least that way the girl would have a vested interest in finding rayas and finding edim and finding people who can come and testify against him. So at least for that, it's kedai to give the money to the girl, even if in fact she is a kutis. Now, in general, the status of a kuti over here, Tosfos on the bottom of Lamed Chesed Beis discusses briefly. He says, our sugya sounds like we hold for real that kutim are geri emes. So he raises the question, vim tomar im kein mach chiddush lomar sheyesh lam knas. If they're geri emes, what's the big chiddush that they have knas? V'chi teima mishum damar rabba perek asor yuchsin mamzer me'achosu me'esh asishnes arvu behen me'resha shamin ilay diyesh lam knas v'afilu vade mamzer. And if you're going to say, no, the chiddush is that kutim and mamzerus mixed in with them, so it could be that this one's a mamzeres. Well, he says, well, we already know mamzeres gets knas. Once you tell me mamzeres gets knas, what's the further chiddush that a kutis gets knas? Of course a kutis gets knas. If the whole chiddush of the kutis is that she might be a mamzeres, well, if we know a vada mamzeres gets knas, then for sure a suffik mamzeres is going to get knas. So the answer is tosos v'yish lomar, dihi gufa kamashmalim, digere emesein, dim hayu gere arayis, lo hayu lem knas. No, it's not that we're working with a premise that they're gere emes, and then we teach an additional chiddush that they get knas, because they know chinami. Once you know that they're gere emes, of course they're going to receive knas. The point is that the etzem ha-chiddush, the main chiddush that we're discussing, that we're trying to bring out, is that they in fact are gerei emes. One might have thought that they're gerei arayos, so the chiddush in saying that they have a knas is that they're gerei emes. One more tosos before we move on. Tosos on the top of Lamed Tesamid Aleph, Shelo Yehechote Niskar, says Tosos, V'had Mashm Perakam Duxubis, to Lesley L'Rava Haytai, Magabe Giyarish and Iskari Pchusim Bas Gimel Shanim, that Rava seems to assume in Meseches Ksubos that there is no such concept of Shelo Yehechote Niskar, that we try to avoid giving the chote, giving the sinner any sort of benefit. When it comes to a giyores that was niskaira, that became a giyores when she was less than 3 years old, to mashmile l'rava shim haisi cholu limchos kshegdila lo hayla knas, that if she would have the ability to be moche and to undo her gerus when she gets older, then there would be no knas. So why not? Why would there be no knas? Apparently, Rava is not worried about lo yehechote niskar. How can you say there would be no knas? The chote is going to be niskar if there's no knas. So apparently Rav is not so concerned about it. So says Tosos, no, lo dami. You can't compare the two cases. The hasam who the minadin ain't lo knas klal. Really, meikra din, she doesn't deserve a knas. We're not going to say because of lo yechalti niskar that we're going to create a brand new chiyuv and we're going to make a chiyuv knas when it doesn't exist. Hol min adin ein la. Aval hacha, but in our case, the min adin yesh la, really make her adin, she should have knas. She's really geri emes. She's a Yisraelis. So she should have knas. But because we want to make a special knas on her because she's a kutis, svaru d'mishum shlo yechotin niskar mukminu la'adina. So shlo yechotin niskar says, you know what? Let's put her back to the Ikra Din. And the Ikra Din is that she in fact does receive the Knas. So that's what Lo Yechotin Iskar can do. It can cancel out another consideration to bring something back to what the Ikra Din is supposed to be. But Lo Yechotin Iskar is not going to change what the Ikra Din is supposed to be. Okay, new Mishnah. Shor shel pikeach, a shor of a regular person, shenagach shor shel cherishoto v'katan. That gore is a shor that belongs to a cherishoto or a katan. Halacha is chayev. The pikeach is going to be chayev for the damage that was done by his shor. Interestingly, the Aruch HaShulchan in Hilchos Purim, of all places, Zim Tov Reish Tzadi Hei, mentions this Mishnah as a rayata halacha regarding Mishloach Manos. He says, what do you see from here? That when your shor gores the shor of the katan, that's included in the pasuk of ki yigov shor ish es shor re'ehu. So you see that a katan can be called re'ehu. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, wait a second, if a katan is called re'ehu, then also regarding the halacha of Mishloach Manos, ish lire'ehu, of sending Mishloach Manos, can be done even by giving to a katan, because a katan is called re'ehu. Now that issue of whether one is yosei the mitzvah Mishloach Manos by sending to a katan is often associated with the most famous machlokas when it comes to Hilchos Mishloach Manos, and that's the machlokas between, of course, the Manos HaLevi and the Trumas HaDeshen regarding what the purpose of Mishloach Manos is. The Manos HaLevi famously says that the purpose of Mishloach Manos is to create a sense of reus, of friendship amongst people, whereas the Trumas HaDeshen says, no, Mishloach Manos is a very practical necessity. The purpose of Mishloach Manos is to provide someone else with their Su'udas Purim. So Mela would turn out that if it's to create a sense of friendship, it might work even when you give it to a katan. It creates friendship with the parents, with the family, and even with the katan himself. It creates a sense of friendship in Klal Yisrael. Katan is certainly a Jew. But when it comes to, if it were to give someone the ability to fulfill the mitzvah of Su'udas Purim, then maybe it wouldn't be so good with a katan, because a katan is not chayiv mitzvah. So since he's not a baruch liyuvah at all, there's no sense in giving him the ability to fulfill the mitzvah of Su'udas Purim. He can't be. He's an einam mitzvah v'yosa in the mitzvah of Su'udas Purim. So then maybe you wouldn't be yotzei if you give it to a katan. But the Aruch HaShulchan over here says, no, nothing to do. It has to do simply with, is it included in the pasuk of Re'ehu? Mishloach Manos Ish Re'ehu, is a katan included? And this Mishnah seems to imply that the answer is definitely yes. The katan is included in Mishloach Manos Ish Re'ehu. Also, the term cherish over here, the Nemukah Yosef writes that the term cherish in this context means someone who's eino shomea ve'eino medaber, can't hear or speak. He was born a cherish. But if a cherish is able to speak, then he's a bar das, and he's going to be chayiv in all nezikin, and there will be no chiddush that you're chayiv when your ox gores him, and not only that, when his ox were to gore yours, he'd be chayiv as well. He would be just a regular guy if he were able to be medaber. The Prima Gadim, interestingly, in Psicha Kolelis, Chilik Beis, Oz Dalit discusses when does cherish mean someone who's eino medaber v'eino shamea, and when does cherish mean that he can do one or the other. He can either speak or hear, but not both. And he points out in the name of the Rambam that whenever you have Cherish mentioned along with Shota, so then we're always talking about a Cherish who can do neither. He's Eino Medaber V'Eino Shomea, like our Mishnah. But when Cherish is mentioned independently, not together with Shota, so then Cherish sometimes could mean he's Medaber V'Eino Shomea, he's Shomea V'Eino Medaber, Lav Dafka, that he can't do anything. So in our Mishnah, clearly, though, we're talking about someone who's Eino Shomea Ve'Eino Medaber. So says the Mishnah Vayter, V'shal Cherish Shota V'Katan, She'Nagach Shor Shal Pikeach, Pater. If an ox that belongs to a Cherish Shota V'Katan gores an ox that belongs to a Pikeach, that to a regular guy, the halach is that they are Pater. And the Gemara is going to explain that we're talking about if it's a short tam, we're not going to appoint an apotropos in order to be mechayev them to pay megufo, in order to create a chiyuv to pay megufo the chatzi nezek. We'll discuss further in the Gemara. Shar shel cherushot v'katan, says the Mishnah, shenagach, if a shar of cherushot v'katan gores, Beisdin ma'amidin lan apotropos u'miidin lan bifnei apotropos. Beisdin provides them with an apotropos, and all the edus about all the things their shor did occur in front of their apotropos. The Gemara is going to ask the obvious tira that we just said in the last line, that Beisdin doesn't appoint an apotropos. They're just off the hook. Now we're saying they're not off the hook, that they're going to have to face the music in court because there's going to be an apotropos to represent them in court. So the Gemara will ask that question right off the bat. But first, let's finish the Mishnah. Nispaka hacherish, nishtafa shota, vihigdil akatan. If after some time the cherish gets better, the shota becomes sane, and the katan grows older, chozel tamusa devre meir. A meir holds, even if the animal was a shor muad when it belonged to a cherish shota v'katan, once the owner has changed into a bardas, so the animal goes back to being a shartam, and it has three new tries, right? It's not going to be a muad until it gores again three times. It goes back, it starts with a clean slate. Rabbi Yossi Amar Arei B'Cheskos, Rabbi Yossi says, no such thing. The animal was the one that was a muad. It wasn't the owner that was a muad. The animal was a muad. So the animal remains a muad, even if the owner has gone through a significant life change. Then finally, the Mishnah concludes with one halacha, Shor ha'itstadin einu chayv misa, shenemar ki yigach, velo shiyagichu hu. A shor ha'itstadin, a stadium shor, which means, Rashi points out, this is a shor that they were trained to fight. It was miyuchad l'negichos, it was trained to be a bullfighting for the rodeo. It was trained for bullfighting matches. So if that's what the shor is trained to do, it's been trained to be violent, so then it's not going to be chayv misa. It's not the shor's fault. It's the shor was trained to be this way. And apparently the assumption is that it's not necessarily going to continue to be a menace to society. The shor didn't demonstrate that its nature is mean, it just demonstrated that it could be taught to be mean. Mistama, if it could be taught to be mean, it could be taught to be not mean also. It's like Michael Vick's dogs. They were there was an article recently about how they've been adopted into normal homes, and all of a sudden they're lovey-dovey, and they're not nasty, they're not fighting. That's the animal could be taught. If the animal was only taught to do evil, but it wasn't by its nature evil, then the animal is not going to be a shor muad. Interestingly, in the Beis HaOtzer, Rav Yosef Engel, Marocha Aleph, Klal Chof Dalid, writes that which we have a general concept in all of Shas, Ones Rachmana Patre, what it means is that the Maisa done ba'ones is not misyaches to the person who did the Maisa. It's not considered as if it's his Maisa. It's considered as if the Maisa was done on its own. The Maisa just happened. And he says the raya is from here. Apparently the shor can kill, and the shor doesn't become a shor muad, because yes, the person died, but it says if the person died on his own, or the shor that it killed died on its own. Whatever the victim was, died on its own. It wasn't as a result of this shor. So it's because the shor was totally ba'onas, so the maisa doesn't relate back to the mazik itself. So anyway, says the Gemara, now we're going to relate back to the question that we had mentioned before. Hagu fakasha. Amrit shor shel cherushot v'katan shenagu shor shel pikeach, pater. First, we said that if a shor of cherushot v'katan gores a shor of a pikeach, he's going to be pater. What does that imply? Alma ein ma'amidin apotropos latam ligvos migufo. The clear implication is that we do not appoint an apotropos for a tam to be able to collect migufo, in order that the victim should be able to collect chatzi nezek migufo of this shor. But Ema Seifa, but then we go weiter and we see the Seifa says, Shor shel cherushot v'katan shenagach, a shor of a cherushot v'katan goes and gores, Beisdin ma'amidin lan apotropos. Beisdin does appoint an apotropos, ma'amidin lan b'fnei apotropos, and they have edus in front of the apotropos. So what do you see from there? Alma ma'amidin lan apotropos l'tam ligvos megufo. Apparently we do appoint an apotropos for a short time in order that the victim should be able to collect megufo. So it's a stira from one line in the Mishnah to the next. Do we or do we not appoint an apotropos so that for the cherushot v'katan, so that the victim should be able to collect this chatzi nezek from the shartam? So Amar Rava Hachi Katani says, now this is how to understand the Mishnah, where it's not so itself at all. Vim huchsuku nakchanin Meaning the point is that when the animal gores the first three times, Beis Din does not give the animal an apotropos, so that the cheres tefakat an apotropos, so that you could be chayiv megufo for chatzi nezek v'shartam. No, we let it go. But once the animal gores three times, and we see that the animal is a shor muad, so then Beis Din is going to appoint an apotropos so that the edus of all three times can come out in court, and once that occurs, the animal goes from zero to muad. It never has to pay for a shor tam, but it becomes a shor muad automatically, and therefore on the next negicha, it's now going to pay nezek shalem min ha'aliyah. So in fact, the Gemara, that's nice, it pays min ha'aliyah, me aliyas man. Whose aliyah does it pay from, right? The idea of paying min aliyah. Whose aliyah? Who's the one that pays all that money? Rabbi Yochanan Amar me aliyas yisomen. Rabbi Yochanan says the yisomen was their shar, so it's their money that's going to pay for it. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina Amar me aliyas apotropos. He says no, it's from the apotropos that the money is going to be paid. It's the yisomen don't have to pay anything. Frek the Gemara, does Rabbi Yochanan really hold the yisomen are going to be the ones that lose the money here? Umiyam Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan really hold that way? Vam Rabbi Yochanan Ravasi, ain't this kakalinuchse yisomim, elim kain ribis ochelas behen, that you're not allowed to collect from yisomim's property unless there's ribis eating away at their property. I mean, if there was a loan and the interest is eating away at whatever money they have, so then you can go and collect from nichse yisomim. But short of that, you're not allowed to go collect from the nichse yisomim. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, that either if there's a shtar that has ribis on it, that's one way you can collect from Yisomim. The other way that you might be able to collect from Yisomim, from the property of Yisomim, is if there's a ksubas isha against them. Because so long as the ksuba is not paid, we're going to take away the money for the mizonos of the woman from their property. So it's like having ribis, because there's this constant eating away at their funds so long as they don't pay the chov. So they have, for that, we're going to go to the nichsei somim and pay the ikr chov and pay what they owe for the ksubas isha. But the bottom line is, Rabbi Yochanan very clearly states that generally speaking, we do not go and take money away from yisomim to pay anything up. So how can we say over here that when we say Mishali min aliyah, it's going to be me'aliyah, that Rabbi Yochanan says it's going to be me'aliyah sisomin? So answers the Gemara, epoch, switch around the shitas. Rabbi Yochanan never said it's me'aliyah sisomin. Rabbi Yochanan amar me'aliyah sapatropsin. Rabbi Yochanan is one that said that paying min aliyah means the apotropos is going to pay min aliyah. And Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina amar me'aliyah sisomin. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina says that it's the yisomin who are going to pay min aliyah. Amar Rava, so Frekt Rava Akasha, wait a second. Mishum Dekasha, the Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbi Yochanan, Masha Seil, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Toa. What, just because Rabbi Yochanan, we had a stira in Rabbi Yochanan, what Rabbi Yochanan held, do you collect from the Nichsei Yisomim or do you not? So we're going to make Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina's opinion ridiculous. Meaning there's one ridiculous shita here. Someone holds that you collect from the Yisomim to pay min aliyah for a shor muad. Someone holds that when the Yisomim's shor gores three times, that you pay min aliyah. So what? Because Rabbi Yochanan is, we don't want that to be Rabbi Yochanan. So we're going to attribute that shita to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina dayanahu v'nachaslum kadadina. We know Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina to be an expert judge, and if he's an expert judge, he should have gotten this right. This shouldn't be something that he made a mistake about. So it doesn't help us any to go and switch around the shitos. So the Maritz Chayis over here just raises the following point, that we say that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina was a dayana, he was an expert judge. So it says Maritz Chayis, near Be'inai, Kasav Arash Kan, how do we paskin? Afogav Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina dayanahu, v'kal makam alacha k'Rabbi Yochanan. Even though Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina was an expert judge, nevertheless we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Tahaya Rabosh Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, because Rabbi Yochanan was the Rebbe of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. And we would never paskin like a Talmud against his own Rebbe. So therefore, even though Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina is so wonderful, we still paskin like his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan. And then he quotes, though, but if you look in the Sefer Yad Malachi, that he's misored, that the Rush over here is Soser, the Rush of Meseches Ksubas Perek Dalet. That the Rush of Meseches, or Daf Pei Dalet Amin Aleph, rather. The Rush of Meseches Ksubas tells us that the halacha is like Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina against Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina was kashish tuva, was older than Rabbi Yochanan. Wait a second, the Rosh over here says we don't paskin like Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina because he was the Talmud. Now in Ksubas he's going to say Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanina was older, and therefore we pass on Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanina. So he says, you know, the standard answer given to the Stira and the Rash, all the Kolam Mechabrim Ratzu L'Tareit, says Maritz Chayus, is that based on Tosus Maseches Nazir Daf Chavtes, that there must have been two Rabbi Yosef Ben Chaninas. One of them was older, and one of them was younger than Rabbi Yochanan. But the Maritz Chayus isn't sold on this answer. He says, Masha Kasef HaRash, HaRav, Harav Bal Seder Adaros Raila Dvar B'Ksubas Makdim Divrei Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanina Rabbi Yochanan V'Kan Makdim Divrei Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanina. They wanted to prove this idea that there are two Rabbi Yosef Ben Chaninas, one who's older than Rabbi Yochanan, one who's younger than Rabbi Yochanan, from the fact that sometimes Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanina's name comes before Rabbi Yochanan's name, and sometimes Rabbi Yochanan's name comes before Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanina's name. He says that which they try to bring that raya, he says it's not a raya at all. He says, "Gam ze eno ki matzasi reisi b'sefer hanichbad be'er sheva." I found in the sefer be'er sheva, who brings many rayos, that min hakadima in raya, that you can't bring a raya from the fact that someone's name comes first. Shayakashish minayin, that the person whose name comes first was necessarily older than the other person. There is shama maskaris haMishnah Rabbi Yosi Aglili called him Rabbi Akiva, because after all, the Mishnah in Horios Tavches mentions Rabbi Yosi Aglili's name before Rabbi Akiva's name. But we know from the Gemara Zvachim Nun Zayin that the number of Shivas Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon Bekeren Biavne, that when Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon were in Keren Biavne, a Talmud Echad came to the Beis HaMedrash. Who is the Talmud? Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So even though Rabbi Yossi Aglili's name appears in the Mishnah before Rabbi Akiva, you see Rabbi Yossi Aglili was a Talmud. He wasn't a Rebbe. He wasn't the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva. So you see very clearly that just because someone's name comes first in the Mishnah, it's not at all a Raya, that person is the Rebbe, that person is the older one. It could be he's the younger one. Then he brings a Raya from the famous Gemara Neiriv in Nun Gimel. The Gemara Neiriv says that Bruria, the wife of Rameir, said to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, when Rabbi Yossi Aglili asked her a question, and she thought he used too many words to ask the question, so she rebuked him, and she said, "Glili Shota, you fool, Glili. Don't you know, Chazal say, you're not supposed to speak too much to a woman? So you should have asked your question more succinctly, without saying all those extra words." And yet Rabbi Meir was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. So apparently, you find that V'chein Matzinu Ba'agadus Lel Pesach, and we also find in the Haggadah of the Night of the Seder, Maisa Brablaz of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Akiva of Rabbi Tarfon. And we know that Rabbi Tarfon was the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva, even though Rabbi Akiva's name comes later on. So you see, from Kedima, there's no proof. From the fact that someone's name comes first is not a raya at all to whether they are the Rebbe or they are the Talmud. So he says he doesn't think that that's the answer to the stira by saying that there were two Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chaninas, one was a Tana and one was an Amora, and the raya to that is from the fact that sometimes he's mentioned before Rabbi Yochanan, sometimes after. The fact that we sometimes, whether there are two or not, that's a different story. But the fact that sometimes mentioned earlier, sometimes mentioned later, is not at all a raya to that idea. So that's just coincidence. But either way, the Gemara is stuck over here. The Gemara says, "I don't understand. How can we say Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina holds that you're allowed to collect from Nichsa Yisomim? Then we'd be saying Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina got it wrong." So answers the Gemara, "Eliyolam lo tepuch. Don't switch around the sheetas of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Umazik shiny. Simply, the case of a mazik is going to be different. Rabbi Yochanan Amar me'aliyas yisomim, meaning no one holds you're allowed to collect from yisomim. But still, Rabbi Yochanan holds when it comes to a mazik, you can collect from yisomim. Under normal circumstances, you can't collect from yisomim unless there's ribbis that's eating away at the money, or there's mizonos isha that's eating away at the money. But in the case of mazik, it's an exception. Why? Because if we were to demand that the apotropos be the one to pay out of pocket, mimni v'lo avdi. So what's likely to happen? People will just decide that they don't want to be an apotropos. They'll say, why should I want to get involved if I could stand to lose so much money by becoming an apotropos? So no one's going to be interested in becoming an apotropos. So says Tosfos on the bottom over here, Mikan medaktek harav Rabbeinu Chaim. This is quoted by other Rishonim as well, by the Rush, that the Rabbeinu Chaim was medaktek from here. The following halacha: the apotropsin lo mishalmi afilu pashu b'shal yasmi. That an apotropos will never have to pay, even if it was his own negligence with the possessions of the Yisomim that caused the damage. Da'ahacha pasha b'shar apotropos. Over here, he was clearly posheya, v'afilu hachi miftari, and nevertheless he's pater. Umash apotropos nishba liyasmi, k'demashma nizakin, haynu shlo ikev klumi shalem. Aye, but don't we say the apotropos has to take a shvua to Yisomim? No, the shvua the apotropos takes to Yisomim is not a shvua that he wasn't posheya, because even if he was posheya, he's pater. The shvua that he takes to the Yisomim is that he didn't keep anything for himself. That's the only shvua. V'lein the shpan shlo pashu, dafilu pashu paturim. Even if he weren't posheya, he'd be pater. So there's no sense in taking a shvua that he wasn't posheya. That is the shita of Rav Rabbeinu Chaim. However, he then goes on to quote for Rav Rabbeinu Shlomo Bachur ben Rabbeinu Yosef Tiktik, to Mishalmi Bipshia. He brings a raya from a Gemara in Bab Metzia that they in fact do pay for Pshia. So that seems to be the Machlokas Rishonim. Based on this sugya, do we assume that an apotropos pays for his Pshia, or do we assume that an apotropos would not have to pay for his own Pshia with the Nechasim of the Yisomim? Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter. So we had mentioned, Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina Amar, what's Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina Shita? That Me'alias Apotropos, that who's going to have to pay when the Yisomim's ox damages? The Apotropos is going to have to pay the Nezek Shalim when it becomes a Muad. Aye, but no one will want to be an Apotropos. What does he do with that Taina? Don't worry, V'chazim Rav Fram, Mina Yisom, L'chi Gadli. The money's not all lost. He'll still be able to go back and collect from the Yisomim when the Yisomim get older. It's not that the money's gone forever. No, they'll get the money back when the Yisomim get a little bit older. He'll go and he'll collect the money from the Yisomim. So you don't have to worry that people will shy away from the job of becoming apotropsin just because they're going to have to pay when the animal does damage as a muad. So the Gemara continues, this question of whether Beis Din will appoint an apotropos for a short tam that belongs to Yisomim in order that the Nizik should be able to collect Chatzi Nezik Megufo, which we said in Amar Aleph they absolutely don't do. That Beis Din does not appoint an apotropos. He does not pay Chatzi Nezik. They only appoint an apotropos after it goes three times and we want to make the animal a muad. But for a tam to pay Chatzi Nezik Megufo, we do not do. Now the Gemara is suggesting it's in fact a machlokas tanaim, whether we do or do not appoint an apotropos in such a case. The Tanya begs of a brisa. Shor shen ischar shu baila v'shen ishtatu baila v'shalchu baila v'medina siyam. If a shor's owner either became a cheresh, became a shota, or just left town, Yehuda ben Nakusa Omar Sumchus, Yehuda ben Nakusa says in the name of Sumchus, Hareyu betamuso ad shi idu bo b'fnei abaylim. It remains a short time until we can make it a muad in front of its owners. V'huad b'baylav, right? Pasuk says an animal only becomes a muad in front of its owners. If the owners are out of town, or the owner is mentally out of town, so then the animal, by definition, cannot become a muad. But v'chachamim omrim, ma'amidin lan apotropin, u'me'idin behen b'fnei apotropin. No, you appoint an apotropos, and let the animal become a muad through the apotropos, through the edus that's given in front of the apotropos. Even though in Achinami, the owner himself is out of town, the apotropos will take the place of the bailim to fulfill the pasuk of a huad b'bailim. Nispaka chacherish nishtafa ashot v'higdal akatan. What if everyone gets better? The cherish becomes normal, the shota becomes normal again, the katan becomes an adult. Uba'u bailim medina siyam, the one that was out of town came back home. So Yehuda ben Akusa Amar Sumchus, Chazal l'tamuso achi idubo b'fnei bailim. So now he says in the name of Sumchus, it goes back to being a short tam again until you make it a muad in front of its owners again. It goes back to being a short tam. But wait a second, the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. Sumchus is the one that said it never became a muad in the first place. You needed the bailim to be there for it to become a muad. So what do you mean it goes back to being a short tam? It was never anything but a short tam. We'll get to that in a second. Rabbi Yossi Amar Hareyu Becheskaso. Rabbi Yossi says it remains Becheskaso, that it was a muad, it still is a muad. So Amru, Mai Hareyu Betamuso Dekamar Sumchus. What does Sumchus mean that it goes back to being a tam? What does Sumchus mean in the Reisha when he said that the animal remains a tam if the Bailim aren't around? So what did he mean by that? Ilema Delomiyait Klal. If he means to say that it doesn't become a muad at all, The last line, that sefer, which said that according to Sumchus, it goes back to being a town when the owner comes back into town, implies that when the owner was out of town, it was a muad. So what does he mean that it never becomes a muad? What does he mean that it's a tam when the owner's out of town? Elamai harehu b'tamuso. What does he mean when he says it is a tam? Harehu b'tmimuso. It means that you don't collect any money from it, that we don't appoint an apotropos in order to be able to collect the money for the chatinezek. Alma ein ma'amid an apotropos latam ligvos migufo. That's all it means. V'chachamim omrim, but the chachamim disagree, say, ma'amid an apotropos. That no, when the bailam is out of town, we absolutely do appoint an apotropos to be able to collect the chatinezek, so the nizek should be able to collect the chatinezek. Umi'idalan b'fnei apotropos. Alma ma'amid an apotropos latam ligvos migufo. We do appoint an apotropos in order that they should be able to collect migufo, the chatinezek. So we see it's a machlokas tanayim, whether when the animals a short time does Beis Din appoint an apotropos for disabled bailim or for ketanim who are the bailim in order that they should be able to pay the chatzi nezek. So that's a machlokas tanayim. So there happens to be a discussion in the Beis Yosef whether we ever the Beis Yosef Asim Reish Dalid says that the halacha is we never appoint an apotropos for the chova of Yisomim. We're only going to do it for the zchus of Yisomim, not to do something bad for the Yisomim. So if Lamashal Reuven gets hurt from the karka of Shimon's children, Reuven can't go to the Beis Din and demand that the Beis Din appoints an apotropos so that he can get paid, because that's an apotropos that's only there for the chov. Over here by Hezek, it's different. By Hezek, it might be different because we're worried about the menace to society, that if we don't do something to remedy the situation, then it will continue to be a terrible menace to society. But anyway, says the Gemara, v'seifa b'maikam iflagi. What are they arguing about in the seifa? When the owner comes back, whether it be mentally or physically, and he's here again. So we have a machlokas, does the animal go back to being a tam or not? Why wouldn't it? So Rishus Mishana Ikebinayu. They're arguing about whether the change of ownership also changes its status. Sumchus Sava Rishus Mishana. Sumchus holds that going from one owner to another, meaning from a non-entity owner, an absentee owner, to a real owner, changes its status back into, it starts with a clean slate, back into a tam. So even though the animal was a muad, it becomes a tam again. Rabbi Yossi Savar Shoseinu Mishana. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it doesn't change anything. Just because it changed owners doesn't mean it changes anything else. It's still, the animal is still the muad. Now the Aruch HaShulchan, Sim Shin Pei Tes, Sif Yud Tes, writes, what if you have a shor that gores twice? Reuven owns the shor, it gores twice. Then Reuven sells the shor to Shimon. When it gores a third time, does it become a shor muad? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, absolutely not. It does not become a shor muad. Why not? So he says, it's Pashu Kal V'chomer. In our Gemara, you have a shor that's already a shor muad. You change the owner, and it turns into a shor tam. So if you have a shor that's not yet a shor muad, you think you could be mitstari for the negichos that occurred before under a different owner to make it a shor muad. Kal V'chomer, it's not going to be able to be mitstari to turn it into a shor muad. That's the ha'ara of the Aruch HaShulchan. Says the Gemara Vayter, So Rishus Mishana Ikvina Sumchus of Rishus Mishana Rabbi Yosef Rishus Eni Mishana says Gemara Vayter Tan Rabbanan brand new brisa Shor Cheres Shot of a Katan Shenagach, a shor that belongs to a Cheres Shot of a Katan that gores, Rabbi Yaakov Mishalim Chati Nezek. Rabbi Yaakov pays Chati Nezek. Asks the Gemara, Rabbi Yaakov Maya Vidite. What did Rabbi Yaakov do? Why is he paying anything? He's not guilty of anything. No, what we mean to say is Rabbi Yaakov holds you pay chatzi nezek. It's a big discussion in the Achronim. What's the hafamina? That we really thought we were being mechayev the Tana Rabbi Yaakov to pay chatzi nezek? What's the hafamina? What does it even mean that he would pay chatzi nezek? So Tosfos in Maseches Gittin Daf Tes Vav, which the Yaivitz points to over here on the top of the page, Dibra Maskel O. There happens to be three Tosos Dibra Maskel O's on that Amud of Maseches Gittin. It's the first one that we're referring to. Points out that the Gemara over there refers to Rabbi Shimon HaNasi. And the Gemara keeps on asking, is Rabbi Shimon HaNasi an actual Nasi? Or means Rabbi Shimon said something in the name of a Nasi? So Tosos says, where do we ever have a precedent for something that we'll just skip a word? That Rabbi Shimon HaNasi would mean anything other than Rabbi Shimon the Nasi. Why would we think Rabbi Shimon HaNasi means Rabbi Shimon said something in the name of a Nasi?
So he says, no, you do see it. You see it right here. But that sometimes the Brisa will just skip a word. Rabbi Yaakov Mishalim. But obviously it means Rabbi Yaakov Omer that you're Mishalim. Rabbi Yaakov holds that you're Mishalim. I saw one of the Achronim suggested maybe the Havamina, to assume that Rabbi Yaakov himself paid, is similar to what the Gemara Sanhedrin Davav says about David HaMelech, that the Gemara struggles with the issue of the concept of Tzedakah U'Mishpat, which was David's greatest strength. David's greatest strength was that there was a great sense of Tzedakah U'Mishpat that prevailed when David was the Melech Yisrael. So the Gemara struggles, though. What does that mean, Tzedakah and Mishpat? If something is Tzedakah, it means it's Lefnim Yishur HaSadim. If something is Mishpat, it means it's Din. So how can you do both Tzedakah and Mishpat at the same time? So one of the suggestions the Gemara has is that if an Ani and an Ashir came to David HaMelech for a Din Torah, and the Ashir was right, so the Ani really would have had to pay, David HaMelech ruled in favor of the Ashir, but he paid the money out of his own pocket. He paid back the Ani out of his own pocket. So it was Mishpat for the Ashir, he got what he needed, and Tzedakah for the Ani. So maybe that's the Avamina. That Rabbi Yaakov was Mishalim Chatzi Nezek, means he did like David HaMelech. He paid the Chatzi Nezek out of pocket. That's what it means, he paid Chatzi Nezek. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what it means. It just means he holds, you pay Chatzi Nezek in such a case. When a Shara, a Chayr Shot of a Katan, gores, it pays Chatzi Nezek. But anyway, frankly, what kind of Shara are we talking about? If it's a short time, of course it pays chatzin ezek. What else would it pay? It's a short time. That's what a short time pays. It's a very strange question, no? The whole idea that a short that belongs to a chayr shot of a katan pays chatzin ezek is a brand new idea to us. Up until now, we've been saying it pays nothing. So what do you mean that it's pashut that it pays chatzin ezek? So that's what Tosus points out over here, no? What we mean to say, if the chiddush was that it pays something, it should have just said that it's chayiv, that Rabbi Yaakov mechayiv. Obviously, his main chiddush, not just that it pays something, it's that it doesn't pay nezek shalem. Now, that's what we're asking. That's obvious. Of course it doesn't pay nezek shalem. It's a short time. The fact that it pays at all is a chiddush, in a chinami. But for that, you could have just said mechayiv. But the fact that it doesn't pay nezek shalem, that's not a chiddush. Of course it's not going to pay nezek shalem if it's a tam. V'ibamud, if we're talking about a shor muad, so ida avi le'shmira, if you did a proper shmira on it, klal lo boi l'shlume, then you shouldn't have to pay anything. V'ida lo avi le'shmira, and if you didn't do a proper shmira on it, meaning you didn't do a shmira mu'ula, Rashi says, kulei nezek boi l'shlume, then you should have to pay everything. So what's the echitim? So where does Rabbi Yaakov say that a shor of a chayr shot of a katan is going to have to pay, that damages is going to have to pay chatzi nezek? So Amar Rava, Rava gives the answer. We're dealing with a shor muad over here. You did a little bit of a shmira on it, but not a very good shmira on it. Rabbi Yaakov Savarlak, Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Tzad, Tamus B'mekom HaMedes. Rabbi Yaakov holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that when we say a muad pays nezek shalem, it doesn't mean that it's a totally brand new chiyuv. Now the way it works is as follows. A tam pays chatzi nezek megufo. Then the muad pays the chatzi nezek megufo plus the other chatzi nezek min ha'aliyah. It's not that a muad pays nezek shalem min ha'aliyah. It pays the original chatzi nezek, and that original chatzi nezek is governed by the dinim of the chatzi nezek that a short tam pays. And then it also pays a second half of the nezek, which is governed by the laws of muad, and it's not governed by the laws of tam. So it's like two separate chiyuvim that a muad has. So that's he holds like Rabbi Yehuda that tzad tamus b'makom omedes, and he also holds like Rabbi Yehuda v'savar like Rabbi Yehuda da amar muad sagilei b'shmira p'chusa, that the level of shmira you need for a short tam is greater, ironically, strangely, than the level of shmira that you need for a short muad. So if you did something in between those two levels of Shmira, you're not going to be chayiv for the second half of the payment, for the muad half, but you're going to be chayiv for the half of the payment, that's the tam half, because it wasn't a sufficient Shmira. You're going to be chayiv for that part. So v'savri lo k'rabbanan, d'ami ma'midin apotropos l'tam, l'gvos migufam. And he holds like the Rabbanan, that we do appoint an apotropos for a tam, for a short tam of a chayr shot of a katan, in order that the nizik should be able to collect migufo. So that's where Rabbi Yaakov lands with the maskana, that when a shor of a chayr shot of a katan does damage, you're going to pay chatzi nezek migufo. Why are you going to pay chatzi nezek? Because it is a shor muad, But the halacha, but the case happens to be that it's that the level of shmira was one that we couldn't require you for that extra. We couldn't be mechayev him for that extra chatzi nezek that you would have to pay. Amalei Abaye velo pligi. Do they really not argue, Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda? We keep saying Rabbi Yaakov agrees with Rabbi Yehuda about everything. He agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that Tamas bim Koma Medes, and he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that it's Sagi Le B'Shmir P'chusa. Do they really not argue? V'atanya Shor Shal Cheir Shod V'Katan Shenagach V'Shor V'Cheir Shod V'Katan Gors, Rabbi Yehuda Mechayiv, V'Rabbi Yaakov Omer Chati Nezek Kedu V'Shalim. Rabbi Yehuda says Yechayiv, Rabbi Yaakov says, no, you only pay Chati Nezek. So Omer Rabbi Bar Ula, Masha Mechayiv Rabbi Yehuda, Pirish Rabbi Yaakov. That no, they're not arguing, they're explaining each other. Rabbi Yehuda says you chayiv, then Rabbi Yaakov comes along and says, what are you chayiv? Chatzi nezek. So frankly, Gemara, Abaye don't pligi my pligi, but Abaye obviously thought they're arguing. So what does Abaye think they're arguing about? Why does one say that you pay nezek shalem, and the other say that you only pay chatzi nezek? Why does Rabbi Yehuda think you pay nezek shalem, and Rabbi Yaakov say you only pay chatzi nezek? So Amalecha, Abaye will answer, hacha b'mayaskin and b'muad v'lo natre klal. We're dealing with a shor muad that you didn't watch at all. Rabbi Yaakov savlak Rabbi Yehuda b'chada, upalgale b'chada. Rabbi Yaakov agrees with Rabbi Yehuda on one point, but disagrees with him on another point. Savak Rabbi Yehuda b'chada, deal Rabbi Yehuda savrit tzad tamus b'mukom omedes. He agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that the tzad tamus remains intact. And it's not a brand new chiyuv of a shor muad, the chiyuv of muad is added to the already existing chiyuv of a tam. Upalgale b'chada, and he disagrees in one element. Rabbi Yehuda holds you are mamid an apotropos to a short time to pay megufo. Rabbi Yaakov savor ein mamidin v'lo mashalim el palga demur. And Rabbi Yaakov says no, we do not appoint an apotropos for a short time to pay megufo, and therefore you only pay palga demur. Okay, it looks like we have a little bit of extra time, so let's try to go a few lines further. Amle Ravacha Barabai Ravina, Ravacha Barabai says Ravina Bishlam La Abaye. I understand very well according to Abaye. Damar Pligiu says that Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda argue. So Shapir, I understand very well exactly how everything works out. Rashi says, I understand. You say that our Mishnah is talking about a muad, right? And because you can't say it's talking about a tam, then meaning as Rashi says, Muki la b'muad the masnisa kamaisa to betam lekaluk malashmina de mamidin apotropos latam. Because it can't be talking about a tam and teaching me a chiddush that you make an apotropos for a tam. Because in the next price it says that we're not mamin an apotropos. So you understand that the original price is talking about a shor muad where you had no level of shmira in it at all, and therefore mishalim chatzi nezek to muedes, and therefore you pay chatzi nezek. But says the Gemara, I understand very well, according to Abaye, who says that they argue, El Rava Damar Lo Pligi, Adamuki La B'Muad, Nuki B'Tam. Instead of saying that it's talking about a short muad, why don't we instead say that it's talking about a short time? You know what? Let's save this for tomorrow. Again, we'll pick up tomorrow. It's just too long a discussion. We'll pick up tomorrow, Mirza Hashem, three lines from the bottom of the page, on Daf Lamed Tes and Beis, at Amar Le Ravacha. And we'll chazer over what it's basically talking about.